Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 25. Kudra shisha shuti sukha mriga trishna rupa. Kvavedam kalevaram ashesha rujam viroha. Niravidyate natu jano yad apiti vidvan. Kaman alam maduvlavai shamayan durapai. Kudra. Where? Ashisha. Benedictions. Shuta sukha. Simply pleasing to hear of. Mriga trishni. Rupa. Exactly like a mirage in the desert. Kwa, where? Idam, this. Kalevaram, body. Ashesha, unlimited. Rupam, rujam, of diseases. Viroha, the place for generating. Nirvidyate, becomes satiated. Na, not. To, but. Jana, people in general. Yat api, although. Iti, thus. Vidvam, the so-called learned philosophers. Scientists and politicians. Kama analam, the blazing fire of lusty desires. Marulavai, with drops of honey, happiness. Samayan, controlling. Durapai, very difficult to obtain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water? Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? I guess it's a question mark. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well, but nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. Purport. There is a song in the Bengali language which states, I constructed this home for happiness, but unfortunately there was a fire, and everything now has now been burned to ashes. This illustrates the nature of material happiness. Everyone knows it, but nonetheless one plans to hear or think something very pleasing. Unfortunately, all of one's plans are annihilated in due course of time. There were many politicians who planned empires, supremacy and control of the world. But in due time, all their plans and empires, and even the politicians themselves, were vanquished. Everyone should take lessons from Prahlad Maharaj about how we are engaged in so-called temporary happiness through bodily exercises for sense enjoyment. All of us repeatedly make plans which are all repeatedly frustrated. Therefore, one should stop such plan making. As one cannot stop a blazing fire by constantly pouring ghee upon it, one cannot satisfy oneself by increasing plans for sense enjoyment. The blazing fire is Bhava Mahadevagni, Nirvapanam, Shri Rava Chandikavi Karans. The blazing fire of material existence. This forest fire occurs automatically without endeavor. We want to be happy in the material world, but this will never be possible. We should simply increase the blazing fire of desires. Our desires cannot be satisfied by illusory thoughts and plans. Rather, we have to follow the instructions of Lord Krishna. Sarva dharma prajaja mame kam sharanam vraja. Then we shall be happy. Otherwise, in the name of happiness, we shall continue to suffer miserable conditions. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is there happiness in this material world? As for the body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well, but nonetheless they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. The Bhagavatam doesn't appear to be very sentimental. That if you're a nice person, then things might could go better for you. No, it says here that there's no happiness in the material world. Or there may be happiness, but that happiness is temporary. And the main happiness is the state of consciousness when we're not desiring things in the material world. There are two different types of consciousness in material consciousness. One is to hanker for what we don't have, thinking that this will fulfill us. And then lamenting that we had something which we thought was fulfilling to us, and we lost it. Or we got something that was going to fulfill us, and it wound up making us more frustrated than before we had it. Just like if you buy a computer, you think, I'm now I'll be happy. I'll be in control of the universe or some part of it, and I'll be happy. And then you get the computer, and it doesn't work. And it becomes a source of your frustration. Or it works for some time, you put all your data on the computer, and then it crashes. And you've lost all your work for the last 5 years. And you were so confident that it was such a nice computer that you didn't back it up. And now you have 5 years worth of misery. So everyone is expecting that by some arrangement in the material world, we're going to get a permanent state of happiness. And everyone's disappointed that it never happens. And according to the advertisements, it's because you haven't bought the right product yet. If you just spend a little extra, you get something that lasts practically forever, or maybe at least until your warranty runs out. Just like they used to make light bulbs, they used to last perpetually. But that wasn't a good idea. So then they made light bulbs that had a certain number of hours they burned before they burn out. Because now they make these light bulbs that we can see around us. They don't burn out, but they burn the people out. So they may last, but the people under the light bulb won't last. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking, what's the difference between a self-realized person and an ordinary person? How can I tell a self-realized person? You're talking about self-realization, Krishna consciousness, so many different things. So how am I going to understand who's a self-realized person? So he asks, stita pragyasi ka bhasha, samadhi stasi keshava, stita di kim prabhasheta, kim asita vrajeta kim. Arjuna inquired, what is the characteristics of a person who's situated in transcendence? How does he sit? Is his back straight or is he leaning over? How does he walk? Does he walk with a big gait, fast or slow? How does he talk? Which language? Slovenian, English, German? What language does he talk? Now, according to our chart, well, Krishna answers it, but he answers in a way in terms of consciousness, not in terms of external activity. So he said, first thing he says is, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prajahadi Yadakaman, Sarvan Partha Manogatan, Atmani Vatmanatu Stita Pragyasta Tochete, Prajahati, to give up. So to give up what? Prajahati Yadakaman, to give up all desires. Oh, that's not possible. I can't give up. I have to desire. I'm a living entity. My desire is my nature. Prajahati Yadaka Sarvan Partha Manogratan. Born of mental speculation. In other words, the mind is not satisfied that today I'm going to get some prasadam, so there's nothing to worry about. Or even if I don't get prasadam today, I'll get it tomorrow or the next day. Or I should be able to survive 1 month, so there's nothing to worry about. No, the mind comes up with a million things to worry about. I need this, or maybe that. What would it be like if I had this? What happens if I give up this, or if I got that? Well, what happens if this happens that I won't be able to get that? So all day long, our minds is batting us around like a ping pong ball, and we think this is happiness. I just got to choose from all the millions of desires flowing through my mind, choose one, and that will certainly make me fulfilled for at least 15, 20 minutes. Just like nowadays, children, as I said before, when I grew up, there weren't so many toys available. And I wasn't so much interested in toys, I was just interested in toy soldiers. But I couldn't get enough toy soldiers, so I pretended that pennies, because I can get a lot of pennies, so I pretended the pennies were soldiers. Simple. And if you didn't like the soldiers, you could always take the pennies and buy something with them. But nowadays, children, they have a separate room. Wherever I visit, even Indian families, the children always have a separate room, not quite the size of this room, but fairly big room. And they just have all their toys there. And you find that they're not interested in any of the toys. They're interested in breaking the toys. they rode that toy fire engine around the house for 5 days. And now it's the same old fire engine. They're not interested in it anymore. And if their little brother tries to get it, they slap. If I can't enjoy it, no one else can. And so the room gets more and more filled, and then they have to get another house to fit the toys in. And the children are never satisfied. So we can see, and then the commercials, the children wake up early in the morning, they watch the television, and the commercials are all about, tell your mother or father you got to buy this, or else you're going to have a tantrum. Don't let them say no. Hound them for weeks at an end. Mommy, mommy, give me this, give me that. No, no, no. Mommy, mommy, no. No, no. Okay, I give up. I need some peace. Whatever you want, I surrender. I give up all my desires and just surrender unto you. So this is called born a mental concoction. There's no need for it to get this super-duper atomic weapon gun that if your brother doesn't like it, you'll blast him with it. It shoots out water so he'll get all wet and cry to mom. And now they have the super duper electric. It's shoots out a ray of electricity, hits your little baby brother, and he gets stunned. He can't go to cry to mother. So they're always hankering for what's the next thing, what's the latest update, what's going to make me happy. This the last update was so ordinary. They promised me so much. I got so little. But this time, they're going to come through. So whether it's the computers, whatever, the material world is based on that. Hiranyakashipu thought he was going to be happy if he controlled the universe. According to Prahlad Maharaj, Tatsara manye suryavare deinam sada samudvigna diyama satgrahat. Then he saw his father was full of anxiety. The more he got, the more he was in anxiety about. If you have one car, to take care of the car, you got to spend, to buy the car, you have to spend so much money, you have to go into debt. Most people go in debt, even for a car. And they have to pay for the insurance. You have to pay for parking it. You have to pay for cleaning it. You have to pay for putting the oil in. You have to pay for putting the gasoline in. You have to pay for the maintenance. You have to change so many different things. And if you make one little mistake and you get a dent in the car, that's a week's salary. So you have one car, your whole life is a hum car. I am this car. And what to speak if you get a little money, you get two cars. Now you got twice the anxiety. You think you're gaining, but actually you're just gaining anxiety. Even Prabhupada said, when he went, was walking with his father, and he saw a toy gun, and he badgered his father until finally his father bought him the toy gun. Then he fell on the ground and got into a tantrum. He said, well, what's wrong with now? He said, I need another gun for my other hand. So no one's ever satisfied. Because it's all mental concoction. And as soon as you serve the mind, then the mind will come up with something else. Something else it needs to make it complete. Sarvapartamuno. Atmani vatmana tushta. When one finds satisfaction in thinking about Krishna, then he said to be perfectly fixed in pure knowledge. In other words, we're hankering, we're running out, looking for this and that to make us happy. But if we just find out, if we think about Krishna, that will make us happy, then all this illusory so-called progress and enjoyment becomes meaningless. Now, that's all right. Now I'm not hankering for any kind of material happiness, but there's so much misery, so I need some relief from my misery. No, Krishna doesn't agree with that either. He says, Dukeshu vamanagmanak sukeshu vigatas priha vita raga vaya krodha stita dhir muni uchite. One is not disturbed by the threefold miseries, nor is elated when there is happiness. Who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as a sage of steady intelligence or steady mind. In other words, if we're actually cultivating Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, and we go on in spite of the so-called happiness or distress, then as our meditation on Krishna becomes deeper, then we're not at all disturbed by the so-called happiness and distress. You know, if I just continue on with devotional service, which is conducive for my deepening my Krishna consciousness, then the so-called happiness and distress and material energy will have no meaning. And therefore one will not be afraid or disturbed in spite of the greatest difficulties. If one can actually concentrate one's mind upon Krishna and actually experience what Krishna consciousness means. Right now we think we know what Krishna consciousness means, but we have actually no understanding. All we can know is that there's a spiritual world and eternally they live there and no one complains. There hasn't been one complaint. If there's a Amazon.com, everyone gives 5 stars eternally. Amazon.com. That is a world no one comes except for a few crazy people. No one comes from the spiritual world down here. It's like choosing the reflection of an apple in the water rather than the apple in the tree. When one actually knows where the real apples are, one doesn't bother diving into the water looking for the reflected apples. Somehow or another, if we try to make some progress, then Krishna might reveal to us, or will reveal to us, what Krishna consciousness actually means, what the experience is gradually. And when one is fully liberated, then one's real progress in Krishna consciousness takes place, and then our progress becomes intensified. Right now, sometimes we get a little taste and we fall back. We think, yeah, I just got this wonderful taste in Krishna consciousness. I'm so great. I'm so advanced. I can't believe it. Even Krishna is amazed. And then we're back in Maya due to false prestige. So you go on book distribution. Somehow or another, you go out there, one goes out there, one is all depressed, one is fearful, anxiety, thinking I can't do anything today. And then one tries a little bit, and then somehow or another, one gets a little enthusiasm, one prays, Krishna sends someone, and someone comes, says, "What's that book?" And he said, "You're not interested. You wouldn't be interested. No one else is interested. I'm sure you're not interested either. No, no, let me see the book." No, I want to see the book. Gets the book. He says, "I know you wouldn't possibly buy it." No, I want the book. How much is it? And you think, wow, I'm really empowered. You sell the book and you think, really, I'm on fire. And then after some time you sell a couple more books, you think, wow, I'm really empowered. I'm a Shaktivesh avatar. And you get more and more puffed up. And then after so the next person goes and you say, "Would you like this book like everyone else?" And go, "Get lost, you rascal." You think, well, how is this possible? I'm an empowered incarnation. No one rejects the book. I'm a Shaktivesh avatar. Get a job. Get a life. What? One never equates it the fact that I become puffed up. No one thinks, oh, Krishna just took all my potency away. Give it back, Krishna. Don't steal from a devotee. So Krishna wants us to cultivate service, but he also wants us to cultivate an attitude of appreciation and humility and so many other things. And therefore, sometimes he may give us the potency to do our service, and sometimes he may take everything away and we become despondent. And hopefully then we try to rely upon Krishna again. "Krishna, I know I'm a rascal. Please forgive me. I was so puffed up. Please give me some mercy again." And he gives us some mercy. "Thanks a lot, Krishna. I'll see you next Janmashtami." Then we're, I'm down. It's possible. Krishna is so unsteady. Couldn't possibly be anything wrong with me because I'm a pure devotee. Krishna doesn't realize it, how pure I am. So the point is that when we find satisfaction in Krishna alone, but there also has to be a certain amount of humility to find Krishna in the first place, because he's the unlimited Supreme Lord, and we're 1/10,000th the size of the tip of our size. There's no room for any pride in Krishna consciousness. How can a 1/10,000th size tip of our soul, when he meets the unlimited Supreme Lord, who's in every atom, in unlimited universes and throughout the spiritual world, how could he possibly get puffed up? On what basis? "Look, Krishna, I may be 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, but I'm a magnificent 1/10,000th the size tip of hair in size. Small things are beautiful." No, if we were in our right place, we'd actually be unlimitedly humble as we're unlimitedly small. But because we're puffed up with this material identification, material conception of life, Therefore, we're subjected to pride, which Maya is always offering us. So we can imagine ourselves to be something much greater than we actually are. Therefore, that's the main mental concoction. And on that basis, we have to display our opulence in so many different ways. Make sure people are reminded of who we are. Of course, we don't know who we are, but people should be reminded of it anyhow, who we think we are. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I'm just wondering, this verse you're quoting, Prajahati Adakaman. So this is second chapter, and Krishna didn't use to surrender to him. He uses this Atma, the self, or what is the, how's this?
Krishna speaking to a big audience. So Atma generally means one finds satisfaction in self. Atma Rama Chamunayo Nigranta Nirukme. There may be one kind of Atma Rama who's satisfied in just being oneself. But that's not really what Krishna's referring to. He's talking about finding satisfaction in the self alone, which means ultimately remains Krishna. No one can be satisfied in just thinking how I'm Brahman or something. The only real satisfaction is when we're conscious of Krishna. Although when one becomes Atmarama, there's a kind of preliminary satisfaction, but that's compared to an atomic fraction of happiness in one drop in the ocean of devotional service. Atomic fraction of one drop of water is not very significant compared to a whole ocean of water. And we want the ocean. If you're in a desert, it says here in the verse, if you're in a desert, everything's dry. You don't need one drop of water. You need an ocean of water to take care of the dryness in the desert. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gwantara Kuala. Gwantara Shmai Bhagavatam Ki Jai.